Hey guys, good afternoon.
Love Talk Radio.
Hey guys, good afternoon. This is Sonia with Honest Dialogue. Today we're going to have Tina Wanamaker on. So I'm going to go ahead and transfer her through. You guys give her a big welcome. Hey, Tina.
Hello. Hi, Sonia.
How are you
How
today?
Are you?
I'm pretty good. How are
Thank
you?
Thank you. Oh,
all
good.
Right. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and let you introduce yourself and tell everybody a little bit about you.
Sure. My name is Tina Wanamaker, and I am married to a great guy named Owen. We've been married 15 years, and we have four kids. We have our oldest is a boy, and he's 11. Then we have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old girl, and then our baby is 5, and he's a little boy as well.
Oh, okay. Also, I know that from our conversations on Facebook that you wrote a book, and the title of it is Characteristics of a Christian Woman. So what I want you to do is just tell me a little bit about the book and actually what led you into writing it.
Sure. Well, I wasn't planning on writing a book, actually. but I've been involved in women's ministry for a while. And about 2 years ago, maybe it was 3 years ago, and I think it was 3 years ago now, I was teaching a ladies' Bible study. And I was asking the Lord what it was that he would have me teach on, and he gave me a 6-week study, very specific topics, and some things that we normally wouldn't discuss as women, submission to husbands and friendships, relationships, and how to deal with offenses and different things like that. And so I wrote a Bible study for that at the Lord's leading, and took the ladies through it, and it was really good. And so from there, I ended up with my notes on what I taught. And I had also written things in the past in regards to the same topics. And it ended up being a manuscript. And I thought, oh, well, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? And I began asking him, and I felt that he was leading me to publish it. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to do that. And if you want me to do that, would you lead me in that? And he very specifically, led me through the process of publishing, even down through, he brought an editor to me in a pizza parlor, and just random, strange kind of things that only the Lord can do. And so that's how the book came about. And I also mentioned kind of what was in it, and the heart behind it is, I would say, in Matthew 6:33, which is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That women, us as women, that we sit at the feet of Jesus and learn of him, and as we do that, he's going to work everything else out in our lives.
Exactly. I feel the same way. Matthew 6:33 is definitely a great scripture for that.
Yep.
Now, I'm also aware that you and your husband also counsel, I guess that's a loose term, but other married individuals. What made both of you decide to take part in that kind of ministry?
Well, we like to call it marriage discipleship, because
okay.
We're coming alongside folks, and we're trying to encourage them and use our example to encourage them to seek the Lord in their marriage. And so we started doing that when someone actually approached us and asked if we would meet with them, a couple. And we thought, well, and we felt that the Lord was teaching us a lot of different things in regards to marriage. I mean, everybody's got stuff, I think, that the Lord has walked them through in their marriage. And so that's how that began. And the Lord has really given us a heart for married couples, because we feel like that's an area that the enemy targets first. If you can destroy the family unit, then you can destroy many other things as well.
I agree with you on that. We've had some issues in our marriage also. But you say use your marriage as an example. Now, did you guys ever have any bumps in the road? I mean, major bumps, or was it more along the lines of you guys have always had a pretty strong marriage and God was going to use you in that way, in those terms, for the other couples that you discipleship with?
Sure. So when we came to Christ, we had been married a year and a half. And we were both living a lifestyle that was not pleasing to the Lord. And so we brought a lot of baggage into our marriage. And through the years, the Lord has had to have us dump that baggage out, if you will, before him. And he's helped us sort through those things. And so, and I think anyone who has a similar testimony understands kind of what I'm saying there. There's a lot of stuff that you have to go through and look at and say, okay, both Owen and I, we feel like the Lord wants us in a place of wholeness and health so that we can better serve him and reach out more easily and readily to folks. And if we've been in places that are hard, then we can reach out with that compassion.
No, I agree completely on that, too. I believe that you have to go through some trials in order to have a great testimony for others to hear.
Yes.
Now, in those discipleships that you're going through, do they range from adultery, or is it more simplistic things like arguing, things like that, or have you went, have you had people that were more complicated with their situations?
Yeah, so we... there have been some difficult situations that we have walked through with folks. And oftentimes, all we can do is just get on our knees together and say, Lord,
and pray.
We really, right? We don't know what to do, Lord. How do we help these folks? What do we say to them? And I also, my husband and I would go down to the mission, and I have opportunity to go down and minister at the local jail as well. And a couple months back now, there were some gals that had gotten out. They have a faith unit at the jail that we're at. And so a couple of gals had gotten out and gone back into the same lifestyle. And it breaks your heart. It's like, oh, but they have free will in that. And so before I went in that day, I was asking the Lord, Lord, what can I say to them that is going to impact them, that's going to cause them not to want to go down this road again? And the Lord said, nothing. I was like, yeah. Lord, what do you mean, nothing? And he said, they have free will. They choose. You can present the truth to them. It's like they say, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make the
drink.
Horse
that's
drink.
Not.
And it's the same thing in marriage discipleship or any other type of ministry that you do. I was looking in, I can't remember where it was at, but Paul was talking about that he received and then he gave what he received out. And that's what we do. It's like we're the truth delivery service, and hey, we're delivering the truth and here it is. But what you do with it is up to you.
Exactly. And not everybody likes the truth. And you're right,
no.
Free will. He gave us all free will. And it's something that sometimes it's hard for us to understand, though, because we want to see those people that we counsel, take heed in God's word and continue down that right path. And it's disappointing for us when that happens. But we have to understand that you can't fix everybody. You just can't fix people. God has to fix people. And if they don't allow them to fix them, they're not going to be fixed. So
that's right.
For the women, some of them that you counsel, do you actually use your book or have you given them your book or allowed them to have access to it?
Yeah, so I haven't actually gone through the book with anyone, but we do give them out often. And so they're getting out into, as the Lord leads, we give them out.
Okay. Now, we also briefly discussed homeschooling online because we both homeschool. And I know that some of us, including me at first, had a very hard time with time management or being able to keep your kids' attention and so forth, those type of areas.
Right.
I know that you've probably got some techniques that you, you know, have come up with on homeschooling, because I'm not quite sure how long you've homeschooled. I guess you can tell us that too. And maybe some child rearing, could I say advice or some techniques that might have worked for you that may not be working for someone
sure.
else that wants to homeschool their children.
Yes. So we've been homeschooling since Levi was in kindergarten, and that's our oldest. And so when we were expecting him, we felt that the Lord placed it on our heart to homeschool. And that was another thing that I was like, Lord, I don't know how to homeschool. Will you teach me? You know, I don't know how to do this stuff. I don't know how to do this life, but God is sufficient. And so I was like, well, Lord, show me what to do. And he did. And I would say that if the Lord is laying it on a mom's heart to homeschool, that she should trust him and step out in faith to do it, because he's already given that mom everything that she's going to need to do the job he's calling her to do. And sometimes we can second guess ourselves and say, you know, it's just too hard for me. I want to do it, but I can't do it. But I believe it's Philippians 4:13 says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so because of that, I would challenge them, if they're on the fence there, just to take the plunge and allow the Lord to have his way. As for tips on homeschooling, well, I think one of the best things I could say is to lay down your right to time for yourself. That's going to just clear the way of a lot of frustrations, I think. Just anticipate, you know, that this is what you're going to do, and it is a sacrifice. You know, a couple weeks ago, a lady said, oh, me and some of the girls were going to go, a lady from Bible City, we're going to go out to lunch. Do you want to come? I said, well, I would love to come, but I can't. And that's okay, because I'm making that choice to do that. I'm making that choice to be with my children and invest in them. And it's a season. You know, it's very quickly the children are going to be grown. And we're going to miss those little shoes and little socks and the papers, the drawings, and all those things. And that we just, you know, I've been thinking a lot about enjoying the moment that the Lord has provided for us. I think we get so caught up in thinking about, you know, scheduling our homeschooling, or, you know, what we have to do next, or looking at things and saying we have to do all of this, that we get overwhelmed. But instead of that, to ask the Lord to teach us to enjoy the moment.
Exactly. Well, I know the reason I asked about the time management and things like that was I have a friend that actually homeschools. And like I said, each state, of course, is different, you know, with the amount of hours you have to homeschool or that's required. But she said that she struggles with the time management. And it's really, I guess, because you're trying to cover everything that each state requires you to cover. But you, if
right.
you homeschool, you want to do it in a godly sense if you're a Christian, you know,
yes.
family. And you also have to meet the certain criteria for your state. So it becomes, I think, a little frustrating and overwhelming. And so that's the reason I
yes.
had asked was, you know, did you have any, like, time management skills? Like, maybe in the mornings, do you do your prayer first? And is there a strategic plan that you have?
Sure.
Or is it just
okay.
a free will go type of day?
Right. Well, in thinking of that, before, I've been asking the Lord, you know, to complete his agenda in our conversation today. And one thing that he brought me to was preparation. And what I mean by that is that homeschooling can be hard. it's a joy, but it can be hard too. There's days where you're like, my kids aren't listening to me, and we have just spent an hour trying to read, you know, 20 verses in the Bible or whatever, depending on the age of your kids. And those days are going to come, and that we have to say, well, you know, I expect them, because it's going to happen sometimes. And so preparation, I think, is key, purposeful preparation. And what that looks like for me is time in the morning with the Lord. And I can note, I can tell the difference in my own attitude if I don't have that time for a couple of days. I can tell. I'm shorter with the kids. I'm irritable or whatnot, and I don't like it. And so I know that for me, I've got to be in the Word on a daily basis. And then to have a continual conversation with God throughout the day. I think that that is huge. I remember a while back a lady saying that her husband was a pastor, and she said, if I only saw my husband on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights at Bible study, how good would our relationship be? And the answer is, well, it wouldn't be very good. And it's the same with the Lord, right? If we only talk to him Sunday mornings at church and then at our Bible study, right, once a week, and then we're not going to have a really good open line of communication with him. And so to have that continual conversation, and then to actively seek him, to set aside time just to sit with the Lord, and especially when you're feeling overwhelmed, and to stay there and wait on him until he brings that peace back to your heart. There is a verse, Psalm 27:14, that says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. And then the last thing is in that purposeful preparation is abiding in Christ. John chapter 15 talks about that we need to abide in the vine. And I like to think of it as a little house, that Jesus is that house, because the word for abiding means dwelling in. And so we can enter into that house, and it means to continually dwell in it. And we know that we can exit that house too. We can choose to go our own way, and we exit that house at that point. But the good thing is, 1 John 1:9 applies. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And we enter back in by faith into dwelling in Christ and remaining in him.
Okay, now, I know a while ago you said that you prayed about what, you know, you felt the Lord would lead you to say during this interview. I mean, is there anything else that you want to touch base on that you feel like that he's led you to discuss? Because I always try to incorporate, you know, I do these interviews based on usually people's books or things that they feel strongly in regards to.
Mm-hmm.
Or either they've honestly, like you said, have prayed and feel like the Lord has laid something on their heart. So if there is something else that we've maybe not touched on or missed, I mean, you can feel free to share, or any kind of experiences you may want to share or anything like that.
Okay, sounds good. There is one other area, as we had kind of discussed trials, I guess it would be a little, and anxieties and stressors. I was kind of thinking of it in terms of stressors in our daily life. And the definition of stressor, it means something that puts a load on us. It's pressing us in. And so as I was thinking about that and talking with the Lord about that, I was really, you know, asking the Lord, how is it that I deal with that stuff? Because you just deal with it, right? You don't often stop and think, well, how is it that I'm dealing with this? And so I got to thinking that there are some tools when trials arise that we can use. And one is cast our cares on the Lord. That we just simply give it to the Lord. We take a moment to bring it before him, and we ask him, what do you want me to do with this, Lord? What do you want my reaction to be to this? And I was thinking of 1 Peter 5:7 that says, cast all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And that there can be emotions associated with the stressors, and that the Lord made us with emotions. It's okay to have them, but that he wants to be Lord over those emotions. And the second thing that the Lord's been really teaching me on the last couple years is offering a sacrifice of joy. And and that's found in Psalm 27:6, a sacrifice of joy and praise and thanksgiving. And so in that, what that does for us is that changes our perspective. And that's one key word that I was just going back to over and over for today is perspective. That we have to have a perspective, God's perspective. That if our eyes get fixed upon our circumstances, then we're in trouble. Because then we're going to just go with our emotions. But if rather we take that time to ask Him to fix our eyes upon Him in the midst of whatever is happening, then we'll have His perspective. And so offering that sacrifice of joy, and it says it's a sacrifice because sometimes we don't want to, right?
Yeah. Sometimes we think, that's what I struggle with.
Yes, exactly, right? But realizing that if we offer that sacrifice, that He is going to do something good there. He's going to fix our eyes upon Him. Our perspective is going to be changed. And so, you know, over the last couple, like maybe 2 years, this is something the Lord's really been, I asked Him, I said, Lord, train me to do this. Train me to consistently do this because I need to. And He's so good at doing that. And so what that practically looks like is, for example, today, you know, I don't, my kids fuss at one another sometimes. I'm pretty sure that's pretty normal. And I'm like, hey guys, you know, we deal with it and whatnot. But sometimes they are continuing fussing at one another and you're thinking, oh my, you know.
You start stressing.
So in that, right. And so today they were fussing at one another pretty continue. And I was like, guys, and so I stopped and I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to offer you the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. I'm going to offer you that, a sacrifice of joy. And so I started singing a hymn, started singing a song to the Lord. And then I started thanking Him. I was like, Lord, You are the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end, and so on and so forth. And at the end of that, your eyes are fixed back on Him. It's just super. Like, thank You, Lord. I need
those
tools.
That. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're sharing that because I tend to struggle with this in my life, or I have, about stressors. As you know, that we're moving, and that's a big stressor for me because I've never lived away from my hometown. And so, of course, the devil likes to play with my mind and start trying to think negatively, and that positivity is gone. And by that time, I'm stressing about it. And so that's a great perspective that you shared. I definitely need to use that, and I advise a lot of people to actually use that if possible because it shouldn't be that hard to do. If you're a Christian and you believe in God, this is something that should be very easily done. Now, also, I want you, before we, I think we have like 4 minutes left or so, I want you to also tell our listeners about how they can actually get your book. Or either if you want to share your Facebook or if you have a Twitter or Instagram or anything like that that you would like to share people, you know, with. But you can go ahead.
Right. So the book is, it's online. If you just search Characteristics of a Christian Woman, and then my name as well, Tina Wanamaker, there's another book with the same name. And so if you just search for that, it'll pop up on there. And I'm on Facebook, and I'm happy to answer any questions that anyone may have or pray for folks or anything like that. I love doing that.
Yeah, you do very well at that. From my experience,
I
already
really love
knowing
it.
You. I do too. All right, well, that is pretty much it for the show today. Hopefully everybody will be listening, and they'll go ahead and get in touch with you if need, you know, through God's will. And I thank you so much for providing the time or giving me the time to interview you, and I hope that you have a great day.
Tanya, thank you very much. I enjoyed talking
with you. Oh, you're welcome,
Tina.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.